Ace Podcast.
10, 9. We have ignition sequence start. Engines on. 5, 4, 3.
Whoa, hey.
Hey, man.
Hey, what's up?
How are you?
I'm pretty good. Hey, this is Craig.
This is Aaron.
And this is Two Middle-Aged Dudes in the Microphone. Hey, you. Welcome. Glad you're here.
Yeah, thanks for listening. Thanks for joining us on this beautiful day or night, depending on when you're listening.
Well.
Hey, we got a review.
We got a review of
what?
We got a review something?
No, we got a new review on iTunes for
people talking about us.
Two Middle-Aged Dudes in a Microphone. This comes to us from Freddie Samrickson.
Freddie Samrickson.
Right here in the United States. He gave us 5 stars.
Steady Freddie is what we used to call him.
Yeah, Steady Freddie is who it is. Fantastic storytelling and great quality. Thank you, Freddie. These guys are the masters of finding the weirdest, funniest stuff to talk about. Love every episode.
We're something.
We really appreciate that, Freddie. And if you have not left us a review, please go on over to iTunes and do so. That would be great for us.
Well, Freddie already did that.
Are you ready? Are you?
Oh, you meant somebody else.
You ready for the top story?
Top story.
Top story.
We got another snake story.
Snake on a plane.
Do we have a snake theme?
No.
We need a snake theme.
You know what else we need?
Snakes on a plane theme.
I got a note yesterday from our buddies at Misguided Consultation.
Yeah, they're misguided.
They said that we need an Australian theme because we have so many goofy Australian stories.
That is probably true.
I'm going to work on that. Maybe by next week we'll have it.
Why don't you work on it while I read the story?
But let's get to this.
Top story.
Loose snake slumbers on Alaska flight.
Well, that's okay.
He slumbers.
He's over there
He's
sleeping.
Not bothering you.
Gave him a little tiny pillow.
Anna,
little tiny
McConaughey was flying to Alaska's largest city when the announcement came over the intercom: a passenger on a previous flight had brought a pet snake on board.
I'd be going, "Whoo! At least that was a previous flight."
Well, yeah, but the passenger got off the flight, but the plane didn't.
The plane didn't.
The snake on the plane didn't.
The snake on the plane stayed.
This got complicated really quick. Let's try this again. The passenger got off the plane, but the snake had not.
Then I would be freaking out.
The pilot came on and said, "Guys, we have some loose snake on the plane, but we don't know where it is."
Some loose snake.
Unlike the movie Snakes on a Plane, this one wasn't venomous.
Well, that's good.
Mostly it was sleepy.
Huh.
A little boy, one of 7 passengers on the Raven Alaska commuter flight Sunday from the Alaska village of Aniak to Anchorage, was climbing on his seat when he spotted the slumbering snake. It was lying partially covered by a duffel bag near the back of the plane.
That's like what? That snake wasn't sleeping. It got knocked out. Was somebody hit it with a duffel bag?
I don't know. I mean, how do you forget that?
How do you leave your snake?
How do you leave? I wonder if it was intentional.
I wonder if the snake got out of the cage and the guy didn't know it until he got back to the airport.
Apparently, got out of the duffel bag.
Whatever.
He said, "Oh, Mom, look at this." The kid's like,
"Hey, Mom, look at this."
What's that?
That's how we figured out there was a snake sleeping in the corner. There was no panic, McConaughey said. We're going to call him McConaughey.
That's cool.
That sounds good.
That works.
Most people wanted to see the snake. "I want to see that snake. Hey, can I see the snake when you're done with him?"
I would not be one of those people.
"I want to see the snake. I'm next." A pilot came back to help. Shouldn't the pilot be up front flying the plane?
Who's flying the plane? Don't worry about the snake.
She said, leading to a short discussion with the flight attendant on how to best capture it. He said, "I'll hold the bag and you grab the snake."
I said, "I'll cut the head off."
He said, "I'll hold the bag and you grab the snake," McConaughey said. Quite a gentleman.
Little man's raised right.
I guess, does that really make him a gentleman?
I don't know.
"I'll hold the bag and you grab the snake."
If that's all it takes.
The flight attendant grabbed the snake by the belly. Which part?
By the belly.
By the belly. And dropped it into a plastic trash bag. Well, how's it supposed to breathe?
She threw it away.
It spent the rest of the flight in an overhead storage bin, and the snake was probably happy. And the plane reached Anchorage on schedule. McConaughey's photo showed a pale snake about 4 to 5 feet long.
That's racist.
Yeah, it is kind of. She said it appeared to want only to go back to sleep.
That's how I appear to everybody all the time.
Put the bag back over my head. I want to go to sleep.
Somebody please put me somewhere.
A spokesman for the airline, William Walsh. You know William Walsh.
Oh, yeah. Bill Walsh.
Mm-hmm, said in a statement that the snake owner had not registered the pet for travel in the cabin of the Raven Alaska flight after arriving in Antioch.
You know what he was? He was sneaky.
Yeah, he was. Oh, yeah. He had nothing to say about the situation.
I don't have a
He reported that a snake was missing and likely on the return trip to Anchorage. The airline was thankful for the heads up, Walsh said. However, it has specific requirements for carrying on reptiles. Raven Alaska does not allow any large animal that is not a dog to be used as a service animal. It could have been a snake service animal.
It could have been a comfort animal.
Yeah. It could be like the goat.
Yes.
Remember the goat?
I do.
McConaughey, as we're calling her, said there were plenty of snakes where she grew up in the Russian Far East. However, there are no wild snakes in most of Alaska.
Oh, I want
to
go there.
Why? Because they don't have arms to build igloos. And she's not crazy about them, she said. Here in Alaska, it's kind of weird, she said.
She said, especially that's not a snake.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll go from one reptile to another as we head on over to...
In Florida, I went berserk.
Headline is, 9-foot alligator pulled from a Tampa manhole.
Was he working down there?
You know, growing up, even here in Nashville, we always had these rumors.
I never grew up.
We always had these rumors that there's alligators down there. Don't go near a manhole. There's alligators down there.
You say manhole.
And the reason, yeah, I did.
You just went manhole.
The reason is, my grandfather, my mom tells this story. He bought one of those little alligators from the pet store. They used to be big. Do you remember that? He did not flush it. He got rid of it somehow. They don't know how.
Well, that's a good urban legend.
But a lot of people...
New York's got those.
Yes, exactly. It was really big in New York. Could be. Who knows?
You mean the story was really big in New York or the alligators were really big in
New York? Both happened, actually.
You got a story to get to?
A Tampa man had an interesting encounter with a 9-foot alligator. Craig, any encounter with a 9-foot alligator is going to be interesting. I don't care who you are.
It's going
to be. John Ruel posted the video to Facebook this week after the gator became stuck in a manhole. In response to a number of messages he received, Ruel said, he was a couple of doors down from our house. He was trying to climb out and got stuck.
Well, good.
So this alligator learned how to climb that ladder. See, that's where they're getting smarter.
Yeah, they're becoming a lot smarter.
The trapper tried to pull him out, but his girth was too big.
How? Because the head end was sticking out, right? Because
he's coming
out.
I have no idea. So he had to push him backwards, then pull him out through the manhole. And they said that they're not going to put that gator down either. They're just going to put him in the swamp.
He will not be dispatched.
Good grief.
Good
Put it
gracious.
Down.
Good gator.
Yeah.
Good boy.
Good gators.
Good boy. Come here. Good boy. German dog walker has close call with coconut cannon.
Oh, snap.
That's the kind of headline I like here on Two Middle Aged Dudes. Dateline, German dog walker has close call with coconut cannon. Berlin. That works great for this story.
It does.
Berlin. A dog walker in the German capital can be thankful he turned out to be a fruitless target after his close call with a coconut cannon.
Please go on.
The man was walking in an industrial area March 1st when he heard a bang and a ball-shaped projectile flew past him, hitting a nearby lamppost.
Hates these posts.
Yeah, that's right. Berlin police officers called to the scene were surprised to find a large homemade cannon capable of shooting coconuts at high speeds with compressed air.
I want one of the. We need to add that to our list of things to build.
A 23-year-old man told officers he had helped build the cannon for an art project in the Antarctic and wanted to test it before it was shipped.
Why do you test if it's for an art project?
I love the fact that he went the extra mile and said it was for the Antarctic. Police said Wednesday they impounded the cannon and prosecutors investigated whether it breaches arms control laws.
Okay.
Control your arms, people.
I've got audio of this, too.
Let's do it.
Yeah, they had a microphone just happened to be there. Listen.
That wasn't a lamppost.
One more.
That wasn't even a lamppost.
Had to get that last little bit in. Okay, a stupid criminal update.
Maybe we should have a little Dateline theme.
We should. I should. Okay.
When we pull.
Remind me. I'll do that.
Yeah. Okay. Hey.
Yeah.
Hey, remember to do that.
Okay. Dimwit accidentally texts prosecutor about drug swap. This comes to us from Edwardsville, Pennsylvania. Authorities say a man mistakenly sent a text to a Pennsylvania prosecutor indicating that he wanted to trade marijuana for heroin.
Is it mistakenly or somebody set him up?
I don't know because this happened to a woman as well. I didn't print that one out.
What's more important is how do you pronounce this county?
Luzerne County prosecutors.
More like Luzerne.
That's what I'm going to say. Luzerne County prosecutors say Assistant District Attorney Jill Matthews received a text using drug lingo they called an obvious text for drug deal.
I mean, it was clearly a drug deal.
He pretty much said he wanted to trade some
marijuana. How are you so sure? Because it says I want to buy drugs.
They said she later received a photo of a plastic bag containing a green substance on a scale.
There's the image for you. There's the evidence right there. It's a photo of a plastic bag. Don't, kids, please do not send pictures.
That's so dumb.
Of photos of plastic bags.
Authorities said 29-year-old John Raimondo of Plymouth was
Hold on. I'm sorry.
Okay.
So if I send you a picture of some guacamole in a Ziploc bag on a scale,
right?
That is clearly that's an obvious text.
That's not.
Okay.
But you could tell. Guacamole's wet. Anyway,
because I make it.
Authorities said 29-year-old John Raimondo of Plymouth was arrested at the supposed drug swap outside a shopping center in Edwardsville, about 100 miles northwest of Philadelphia. So they actually set up the deal. That's how they got him. He came to do it. He's now being sought after failing to appear for a hearing. Court documents don't list a defense attorney. A listed number for Raimondo could not be found, so they couldn't call him.
So what if you had weeds in your front yard and you couldn't identify them? So you put them in a plastic bag. And you were like, well,
that would be a great defense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you how do they know this wasn't just a weed that this guy?
Well, it was
weed, all right. Tipperary boy gets stuck in toy machine after climbing in to get a teddy.
And the photos are quite humorous.
A mischievous Tipperary boy. I'm going to start calling people Tipperary boys.
Sure.
That'd be the name of a band. Write that down.
Tipperary boys. That's what I'll call it E next time I see him.
A mischievous Tipperary boy has become trapped in a toy machine at his local play center after climbing inside to try and get his hands on a teddy.
He fit right in there, too. He was just sitting right there in that front little part where you drop the toy. He's like, wasn't smiling. Yeah. He looked scared to death.
An adult would be freaking out, claustrophobic.
Yes, I might be able to do that.
No. Jane, you want to try? Can we get video of you trying?
I could try.
Okay. Jamie Bracken Murphy, 3, was disappointed not to win a toy as she played the notoriously difficult claw game.
As he.
I say he?
Yeah, you said she.
Well, you know, and decided to climb inside in order to get his loot. Unfortunately, after scooting inside, he found himself trapped behind the glass, unable to get out. This should be a real game.
It should be.
They should allow, you should sign a waiver. If your kid can get inside and get a toy, they get to keep it.
Well, I'm not going to jump ahead.
If the kid can't get out, the kid is ours.
Oh!
All right. Jamie's dad, Damien.
Ooh. Scary.
Damien Murphy said he took his eyes off his son for just a few moments, only to look up and see him behind the glass with all the teddies. Can we please quit calling them teddies?
So his dad immediately took $10, got a bunch of change.
Yeah, I got to get my son out of here. Speaking to Independent, Damien said, "We were at a play center here in Nenon, and I took my eyes off of him for about 5 seconds as he walked towards the claw machine. I then heard a muffled complaint. Let me out of here." And when I looked up, he was behind the glass of the machine. I tried to get him out, but it seemed like he didn't have enough space to maneuver his way out. So I told him to be calm and wait while I got the staff.
Just calm down.
To find the keys to the machine.
Right. And they said, keys? We ain't got no stinking keys.
Yeah, we ain't got keys. We even own the machine.
No.
Luckily for Jamie, an off-duty fireman, who apparently keeps keys to the claw machine, happened to be in the play center at the time and came to the little boy's rescue. An off-duty fireman was there with his little son. And it's quite experienced with these sort of things, said Damien. He told Jamie to crouch down and move back further into the machine, which he did calmly, and the fireman shimmied him out.
He shimmied
him out. The dad thanked the staff for the staff of the play center, mentioned to them that it was spelled wrong.
They got the E and the R mixed up.
Yeah, that's just how they do it there. Who said they never had seen a child manage such a feat. Which I would have said, once you look on the internet.
Was it just his feet?
Apparently, yes.
Yeah.
The staff were great. They were concerned and very helpful. They said they'd never seen any child manage that. I was like, well, you stupid. You look on the YouTubes. Look on YouTubes. It's all over YouTube.
There's kids everywhere.
I made all that part up. Lucky for Jamie, all's well that ends well, as the Nenaw boy got to keep the teddies that exited the machine during his rescue operation.
Yes.
That was nice of them.
Yeah, but do you think that's training other children to climb inside?
Well, you know.
Is that,
I don't know.
Positive reinforcement?
I think if it becomes, well, he was 3.
What's wrong with Front D?
I don't know. He's got some kind of an ailment.
Front D just walked past our studio
doing some weird, funky dance. Ministry of Silly Walks or something. I don't know. He's 3 years old. It's not like you're encouraging three-year-olds everywhere. But, I mean, you know, if it becomes a problem, then we'll have to post something probably. But until then, maybe let him have to keep the teddies.
Okay, fine. I'm just saying.
It's kind of cute probably because, okay. You know, also it was their first time seeing this. So they really don't know what kind of a Pandora's box they're opening. Pandora's crane claw machine box they're opening.
Headline is, 83-year-old Long Island man signs himself out of hospital and steals an ambulance.
That's what you do.
Police say the man was upset with his care at the hospital, drove the ambulance to a 7-Eleven where the police found him.
Ooh, I hope it wasn't the one where the guy gets mad when you try to get your own Slurpees.
The police walked up and said, big gulps, huh? An 83-year-old man was arrested after he signed himself out of a hospital, stole an ambulance that had the keys in the ignition early Tuesday, Nassau police said. According to police, Donald Winkler of Potter Avenue was an admitted
Donald Winky Winkler?
That's the one. Yeah. You know him, don't you?
Yeah, I know him.
He was an admitted patient at Nassau University Medical Center.
Wait, he admitted to being a patient? He was an admitted patient.
For an illness when he became upset with his care, signed himself out of the hospital around 1 a.m.
He went, I'm out.
That's pretty early to be leaving, too.
Yeah.
Upon walking...
That's right past 0030.
Yes, it is. Upon walking out of the emergency room doors into the parking lot, Winkler observed and entered a Nassau County Police ambulance with the keys in the ignition and drove away.
That's what you get for leaving the keys in the ambulance.
Absolutely. A short time later, First Precinct officers received a 911...
First what?
Precinct.
Okay.
Officers received a 911 call for a wellness check for a man who was at the 7-Eleven. And police, upon their arrival, officers were met by Winkler.
Hey, how you doing? I'm Winkler.
Who admitted?
Hey, everybody, I'm Donald Winky Winkler. Nice to meet you. This is my 7-Eleven.
He admitted to taking the ambulance. Yeah, I took it.
I took it. What about it?
Which was in the parking lot, the police said. Winkler was then placed under arrest and transported back to the hospital for evaluation and treatment. It didn't work the first time. Why are they taking him back?
Here's the deal. He might have taken it because if he needed medical attention, they had all the supplies on that truck.
Yes, that's smart, in my opinion.
He was thinking ahead.
In Florida, I went berserk.
Florida man ate pancakes in middle of busy street, is facing charges.
We can stop right there, and this would be a perfect story for our show.
That is like, you color the picture the way you want it. It's going to be great no matter what. He pulled up a chair to a portable table, poured syrup over the golden pancakes. Just saying golden Ooh. Makes me want them. He wore pattern green pajama pants and fuzzy trim slippers and was set to enjoy breakfast. The only problem, he was in the middle of a busy Central Florida street. Lakeland police say they got the call Tuesday about 10:50 a.m. about a man sitting in a chair at a TV table in the crosswalk of Memorial Boulevard at Brunel Parkway.
Hey, buddy, what are you doing?
Yeah, breakfast? He had a bottle of syrup and pancakes with what appeared to be
Ooh.
Bacon and scrambled eggs on a plate
oh, I'm hungry.
In front of him, and he was chowing down.
I'll be done in a minute, guys.
There's a gentleman sitting in the middle of the road with a folding table eating. Just sitting there in the middle of the road eating with a chair and a folding table, a man told 911 dispatcher. Video shows several vehicles stopping and trying to navigate around him. I would have navigated around with my arm out and grabbed bacon as I went by.
Yes.
The person filming is heard laughing from the side of the road.
Wouldn't you be?
I would think it's hysterical.
Yes.
Police said the man left before officers arrived, but they later found a video of the breakfast break on Facebook where several people had tagged the alleged eater. This was a YouTube prank or something.
It had to be some kind of visual art or something.
Or just somebody with a YouTube channel.
A prank, like, yeah.
They went back to the intersection on Thursday and found a suspect. Kieran Thomas,
yeah, Kieran.
21, living about 100 yards away. Thomas told investigators the whole thing was a prank,
yeah.
Police said. He was cited on charges of placing an obstruction in the roadway and disrupting the free flow of traffic and not sharing the bacon.
How about that? I'm going to have to look that video up.
That sounds like we've got an update.
It's a two middle-aged dudes update.
It is
we
an
do.
Update, yes.
It was like weird how I knew that.
Just our last episode, we had the He Will Not Divide Us story. You remember that?
Right.
Well, Craig, Mr. Yes. LaBeouf got all cocky and decided
he was.
He said, okay, you found it in America.
When's he
going
to learn?
You know where I'm going? I'm going to Liverpool.
Yes.
Okay. For the fourth time,
he's going to Liverpool, man.
Sheila LaBeouf and company claimed the He Will Not Divide Us stream had found a permanent home. Four times, Craig.
Four times.
For the fourth time, they were proved wrong. The Liverpool, UK location for the protest live stream has been compromised again by, you know who? 4chan.
4chan.
So they were scaling the roof of the Fact Center and attempting
to... The Fat Center?
No, not Fact Center.
Oh.
And they were attempting to tear down the flag. LaBeouf and his artist friends, I never saw any art there, thought the flag was safe on top of a five-story building in a different country. But again, they discounted the power of the internet and 4chan. These guys, I'm loving them. 4chan went to extensive lengths to scale the building and try to remove the flag, risking physical and legal dangers.
They don't give a flip. They actually think they're anonymous in real life.
Three guys were able to get on the roof from another building and make their way across to the arts center. They complained that the flag was heavily zip-tied to the pole and could not be taken down without scissors. The stream was cut off before the flag was taken down, leading to speculation the Brits had failed. But later pictures from the ground revealed the flag had, in fact, been removed from the pole. So somebody is monitoring this feed over in LaBeouf's camp.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, now they are. They're watching it 24/7.
They're like, you're not going to fool us four times. Oh, wait, you just did.
Yeah, police have been spotted on the scene of the Facts Center. They were called when Facts spotted the trespassers. The police advised the Art Center to remove the flag and shut off the stream.
What does FACTS stand for? Do we find out?
No, it's not in the story. Let's make up something.
Flags and
crazy talk.
Tacos.
Yes. Okay. That works.
Flags and Crazy Tacos Center. Because the flag was on the building.
Yeah.
So it's a flag center.
We're going to have to come up with a Randall Squirrel theme.
No.
Okay.
You just need to lay off the squirrel stories.
He's very sensitive about these. Squirrel stories are in the weird news all the time.
Well, let's just get to it.
Campus
to hold funeral for beloved squirrel.
What? What kind of campus?
I don't know. Spying a glimpse of his snowy white behind. This sounds like the beginning of one of those crazy steamy novels.
Yeah, it does.
Spying a glimpse of his snowy white behind was said to bring luck. A good grade on a tough exam or even just a fun weekend.
Wow.
With news of his death on Monday, the University of Houston plunged into grief.
Oh, wow.
The Houston Chronicle reports. Emotional tributes poured in on social media and a makeshift memorial popped up beneath an ashtray.
An ashtray?
Yeah, but beneath an ashtray with a poster headlined In Loving Memory. And a bunch of random student crap. Ketchup packets, soda bottles, and waffle fries. It wasn't a beloved professor at the center of so much love, but a white-tailed squirrel, the unofficial campus mascot. With sadness, we share that an unusual campus legend, the white-tailed squirrel, has peacefully passed away.
Well, how do they know it was the white-tailed squirrel? Maybe it was just another squirrel with a white tail.
Maybe he had like a college little hoodie.
He may have. Yeah. May have been popular around there. He definitely was popular.
Right. It says, thanks for the memories, is what they tweeted.
Well.
Despite not having a proper name, this beautiful squirrel improved campus morale.
If he was that popular, why didn't they give him a name?
Yeah, I know, like Squirrely McSquirrelkins.
Yes.
Or
White Tellytale.
White Tellytale.
Or something.
Fluffy Tail Hoppy.
Yeah, Snowy
tail.
Snowy.
Snowy Snow Snow.
Snowman. Snow Squirrel.
Snowy Butt.
Yeah.
This beautiful squirrel improved campus morale and positively impacted students with its snowy tail. Why don't you just cut the snowy tail off and hang it on a something and everybody can look at it?
What's that next line?
Says a GoFundMe page.
What's the GoFundMe?
Donations to the crowdfunding site quickly surpassed $550 goal, which organizers say will go to a ceremony, towards a ceremony in May. Can the university not afford $500 if it's going to cost that much? What is going to cost $500?
That's what I'd like to know. Were they going to hire REO Speedwagon to play Keep On Loving You?
A more intricate taxidermy job.
Oh, they're going to stuff it.
Potentially a casing in which the squirrel would reside.
Oh, well, that's cool. Okay, I can understand that.
Though the campus is said to be rife with squirrels, students tell the Chronicle that the white-tailed squirrel was different. Seeing him and believing in his luck became a UH tradition. Memorial organizer Robert Comer.
Bob.
It really says something that right after he died, 50 people shared pictures and videos they had of him.
He's right. It says something.
Yeah, right. I'll definitely miss seeing him as another student. There's so many squirrels here, but he was the only one I cared about.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
How about that?
How about that fiasco for a squirrel? Catch a squirrel outside. How about that?
Catch outside. How about that squirrel? So I guess you know we have a poo story.
Yeah, how could you tell?
Actually, it's more of a fart story, but that's the only chance we had to play our theme this episode.
Yeah.
Headline is, judge denies fart lawsuit supplied by pork roll employee. So this lawsuit claimed the employee was fired for farting too much. A lawsuit filed by a woman in defense of her farting husband was full of beans. See, they did their credit.
Were they Boston beans?
According to the judge, who tossed the suit out earlier this year. Luann Klim filed the lawsuit after her husband was fired from the Case Pork Roll Company in New Jersey, allegedly for farting too much. Richard Klim had gastric bypass surgery in 2010, and that's when the extreme gas and uncontrollable diarrhea started. Maybe they just fired him because he, you know, was in the bathroom too much.
Maybe they were tired because maybe they were a little tired of wondering if it was gas or diarrhea that was coming out.
Oh, gross. According to Law News.
I'm just reading what it says here.
The lawsuit claimed Case Pork Roll president Thomas Dolan told Richard Klim.
Wait. Yeah. We're supposed to be surprised that a guy that works at a place called Case Pork Roll.
He told Richard
has
Klim.
Has diarrhea and gas.
Told him to work from home because of the smell he was creating. What's wrong with that? That's not firing him. That I'd say, okay, good deal.
At the least, it'd be inappropriate.
Luann, would it be?
Farting around all day long at
work? Yeah, but it wouldn't be inappropriate for the boss to say, would you mind working from home?
Oh, I'd say, yeah, bring a doctor's note before you come back.
The Luann Klim, who also worked at Case Pork Roll, says Dolan and business owner Thomas Grebe
Case Pork Roll.
Repeatedly made comments about her and her husband's flatulence.
Well, yeah.
The lawsuit claimed Richard Klim was eventually fired in 2014 because of his farting. Luann Klim quit the same day. I've had it. No, great. Now they're both out of work. She filed the lawsuit alleging discrimination against her husband in 2015. A judge rejected it last July, but she resubmitted the case revised. The revised version of the lawsuit claimed the insulting and humiliating comments made by Dolan and Grebe caused Luann Klim mental and physical anguish. But in January, a federal judge rejected the new lawsuit, ruling the alleged comments were inappropriate and failed to constitute a hostile work environment.
I don't know why it's a problem the guy got fired. I mean, obviously, people can't work in that environment.
No.
If the guy's going to do that.
It's no problem at all. I think that's why the wife said it was very inappropriate. Yeah, she had her nose permanently pinched.
Well, again, I will draw attention to the fact he worked at Case Pork Roll.
Yeah. Yeah.
That kind of tells you everything you need to know.
Yeah, it's bad. If you work at Case Pork Roll and they ask you to quit farting, that's bad gas.
That's pretty bad. Hey, guess what? We're going to go to China. You know why?
Why?
We get paid to sleep there.
I looked at this. This is our perfect job, Craig.
Really is when you think about it.
Yeah.
Getting paid to sleep is a thing in China.
I think it's a thing everywhere now.
Not getting paid to sleep.
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Yes.
It's in the story.
I'm sleeping right now.
We can tell.
Am I still not getting paid?
Nope.
Okay. This could literally be everyone's dream job and the only position where sleeping on the job will not be a problem. A company in Shanghai is making headlines for what is perhaps the most coveted job position in the world, a professional sleeper. A manufacturer of dietary supplements in mainland China is looking to pay a salary of about $14,000 a year, US dollars, to their professional sleepers. Successful
Golly.
Candidates will test the supplements and provide a comprehensive report on its effects. However, it's not all just snoozing. The professional sleepers will have to put themselves in difficult sleeping patterns, mirroring people of different occupations. A software programmer's sleep pattern is erratic and vastly different to those working a normal day job, as well as people on night shifts.
Yeah.
After adapting to different people's sleep pattern, the professional sleepers will produce a report that includes the quality of sleep, feedback, and suggestions.
Won't they have to take like their mattress and the room temperature?
I couldn't do this job because every single time, no matter what pattern I was under, I'd wake up and go, oh, what happened? Because I sleep like a dead person. The job does not require any past experience, but a love for sleep is needed. Well, we're in.
I'm in.
Who doesn't love sleep? People from different job industries can apply. Getting paid to sleep is slowly becoming famous as it carves a niche in the job field. In the U.S., hospitals, research facilities, and even NASA hire professional sleepers for studies with annual payouts reaching as high as...
Good grief!
We are in the wrong... 300 grand. We are in the wrong business.
This is going to be our last episode.
We're out. Bye. Where's the door?
This week's top 10 list is top 10 failed products, and it comes to us from smashinglists.com.
Are we on this list?
No, we're not. We're not failed yet. We're still cooking.
Oh, good. We're still good.
Number 10, New Coke.
I wouldn't say that was necessarily a failed product when you consider it was probably one of the biggest marketing gimmicks ever.
Yeah,
was a publicity stunt.
Yeah, I don't know. There's different theories
is
about
that. And the moon landing.
We'll get to that.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Do I do number 9?
Number 9.
Bic pantyhose.
Do you remember that?
Who needs pantyhose you can write a letter with?
That's what they were saying. You know, we got pins, we got razors. What else is next? Pantyhose.
I don't know.
Nobody.
I don't know anything about that because, unlike you, I don't wear pantyhose.
Me either.
whatever.
Number eight, Jell-O for salads.
What?
Some of these ideas sound basically good, but there are a few which just make you feel faintly nauseous, like the idea of savory Jell-O. In the first half of the 20th century, there was a trend for congealed salads, vegetables encased in gelatin products, and cooks were having to use lime Jell-O as the most savory, friendly flavor. So Jell-O responded by introducing a line of Jell-O for salads in tomato, mixed vegetable, celery. Well, I wish I could find some of this today. I'd mix up a vat of mixed vegetable, celery, Jell-O, and see if my kids would eat
it. It's like a V8 was Jell-O.
Weirdly, it never caught on, and the line was discontinued. Even more weirdly, Jell-O is also the official snack of Utah, as it's popular with the Mormon community. Those Mormons love their Jell-O,
they
Craig.
Must.
But even they would shy away from mixed vegetable flavor, I suspect.
Okay, the number seven, I personally have a problem with.
Yeah.
I tried it, and it's a psychological thing.
Yeah, it is.
Number seven, multicolored ketchup. So we tried purple ketchup one time when my kids were younger. I thought, we'll try this, whatever. Let me tell you right now, it's psychological. I get it.
It may be. It may not be, because I thought it tasted funny, too.
No, it didn't taste funny. It was so unappetizing.
Yes.
My ketchup needs to be red.
They didn't test
variation.
It. They obviously didn't test it right.
Purple.
Yeah.
I looked at it and this didn't taste like it. My brain was replacing it with, this is purple. This isn't
bizarre. Number six, Craig, I don't even remember.
I don't remember this either.
Levi's Type 1 jeans.
Maybe you type in them.
The Type 1 jeans had all the Levi's hallmarks, such as the famous red tab, the oversized buttons, and the obvious stitching. But even an expensive Super Bowl commercial didn't shift the jeans, partly because of the crazy pricing strategy that saw some retailers selling them for $100 while others priced them at $30. The air of general confusion added nothing to the sale of the product, and Levi's discontinued the line.
Number five is back again, and it was disgusting the first time I made it. Number five, Crystal Pepsi.
How could they go wrong?
It was called Pepsi Clear, I thought, originally.
Yeah, I think so, too. But it was a cola. It was just clear.
And it was nasty.
It was nasty. How do you mess that up?
It just tasted nasty to me. And it's back again. I don't get it. Oh, number four is a good one. Go.
Number four, Wow chips. You remember Wow's?
Well, it's not so much Wow's as it is what's in them.
The Alestra that they cooked them with.
The guy that had the farting problem.
Yes. I remember in the warning on the back of the bag, oily discharge.
Yeah, so did you have to say it that way?
That's what it said.
So to catch everybody up with what happened 20 years ago?
Yeah.
There was Alestra, which was supposed to be this fantastic thing that they
low calorie?
No fat.
No fat.
It was
like a diet chip.
It was like you could eat potato chips all day long and never gain any pounds.
But
it didn't work out that way.
No, you ended up losing weight, all right.
Oh, my gosh. Number three, Colgate kitchen entrees.
Yeah, so apparently in the 70s, Colgate tried to come out with a line of frozen entrees, which I don't remember at all.
But they all tasted like minty fresh.
Number two, Craig, Betamax.
Okay, this was not a failed product.
Betamax was better than VHS.
Well, I know.
Quality.
And it wasn't a failed product. It was a lawsuit with Sony and it was the first big lawsuit. You know, later on, like in recent years, we've had Blu-ray versus HD
what
do they call them? HD DVDs.
Right. And Blu-ray won out.
So Betamax and VHS was kind of the original of that, but it wasn't a failure. In fact, it was used in studios.
Yes.
Recording
television
studios
used them.
Or recording studios. Yep. They recorded albums and stuff, but Betamax was not a failed product. It failed a lawsuit and it failed to win. Anyway, number one.
Yeah.
Dasani bottled water.
Yes. Did you even know it was gone?
No.
I didn't either.
In March 2004, bromate was discovered in the water. Hey, bro.
That's just my bromate.
That's my bromate. As if you're from Australia.
Yeah.
And he's
that's
your
my
bro.
Bromate.
He's your bromate. Was discovered in the water, which is a suspected carcinogenic. The water was withdrawn, and when given the opportunity to relaunch in 2012, Coke decided against it.
All right, Craig, that about wraps us up for another episode.
I guess we're done.
We'll see y'all next episode.
Thank you for listening to Two Middle-Aged Dudes in a Microphone. If you enjoyed this episode, please take time to rate and review it on your favorite podcast app. This is the best way you can support our show. Visit our website for show notes, downloads, or leave us a comment. Our new web address is weirdnewspodcast.com. Find us on Facebook at Middle-Aged Dudes and on Twitter at the number 2, MADAAM. Or you can send us a voicemail at 629-888-2896. Or you can simply click the button on our website or Facebook page. Just be sure to have your mic ready when you click the button. Send us an email at middleagedudes@gmail.com. New episodes of Two Middle-Aged Dudes in a Microphone are available every Monday and every Friday. Please subscribe so you don't miss any of the weirdness.